How do you know which film festivals you should submit to? Why should you volunteer at film festivals? What should you have ready when you're there, so when you're asked, what's next? Should you get a publicist? And if yes, how do you pick that publicist? We're going to talk about all that and more with film festival programmer and producer John Fitzgerald.
This is the Working Director Podcast, show that helps you go from emerging filmmaker to working director. As a filmmaker living in Los Angeles, I've directed over 130 projects, including 6 distributed feature films, all while helping filmmakers figure out how to level up in their careers. I do this show with one goal in mind, to help you become a working director. And if you want to join us for the live Q&A sessions and ask all of your questions, make sure you join our free private Facebook group by going to theworkingdirector.pro.
Let's get started with one of the questions that comes up the most, and that is, how do people know which film festivals are right for their film and worth the money to submit?
What are your goals? And I think a lot of times filmmakers get stuck in the, okay, I just made a movie and I want to apply to, you know, Sundance and Slamdance in Toronto because they're the obvious ones. And then they look at Movie Maker or some other lists that have been put together and they just, what we call spray and pray, and they just send it out and pray for the best. And I think what we try and help filmmakers do is really think about their goals. Are you trying to sell your movie? Are you trying to go to festivals where you can network, meet other potential collaborators for future projects, trying to get good laurels for your posters, thinking about your future career? You want to have the right laurels so that when you reach out to distributors, there's some credibility there. So I think it is challenging for filmmakers these days to figure out which ones, but I always recommend that people do a little research and think about the differences in these festivals, you know, the regional, the industry, the destination, understand those festivals and what they can bring and what their hospitality programs are like. And that helps to inform which festivals you should apply to.
How many festivals are there now? Like 10,000?
Depending on who you ask, I feel like there's probably over 7,500, something like that. When we did Slamdance in 95, I think there were less than 500 festivals. And then a few years ago, I was doing Santa Barbara and I did some research and it was around 2,500. And it's just continued to mushroom from there.
And I feel like as filmmakers, one of the hardest things is deciding where you're going to spend your little bit of money that you have. For me, one thing I always do is I ask all of my filmmaker friends if they've been to certain festivals or have they, which festivals have they done that they love that would be right for this film? And the other thing is, what do the festivals offer? Because even if it's a small festival, like Black Magic Collective is a tiny festival, but we offer giant prizes, like, you know, very expensive camera packages, cash. Are every single person who pays for a ticket to sit in the theater and watch it, Black Magic takes none of that money. All that money is split between the 9 cash winning filmmakers. So we're small, but that's a good payoff if you're a filmmaker. And so those are the things you have to really look for, I think.
You can look at Film Freeway, and most of the festivals that are listed there have links to their websites. I say most because I've literally been doing the deeper dive, and it's funny, some of them don't even have websites, so that's a pretty big red flag. But you can go to the websites and you could see the caliber of films that they have. And another thing that I always recommend people do is they look at how many years the festival's been around. And that's not to say that if a festival is only first, second, third year, that they're not worth your time. It just means you got to do a little more work to find out, are they run by people that have a clue? What are the prize packages? What's the hospitality program? That's another thing I always tell filmmakers to ask. They get invited to a festival and then they forget to ask what the hospitality program is, and they're just celebrating with their friends. I just got invited to this festival, but they don't know if they're getting flown out. Are they getting hotels comped? Does the festival bring in most of their filmmakers? Are there receptions and happy hours? Because if you get all pumped up and excited to go attend a festival in the middle of nowhere where they don't have a lot of filmmakers and you're spending a lot of money to show up and there's no audience, there's no filmmakers, and you spent a bunch of money because they didn't have hotel deals, that's just not a good investment.
Most film festivals do not do that. So yeah, you got to really plan wisely. Sometimes I even say, well, where are some destinations that you think would be fun to visit on your own?
That's funny you say that, because I'm literally working on a top 10 destination festivals log. It's going to, I think, come out tomorrow.
That's great. I love it. How can filmmakers better their chances of getting accepted to film festivals?
I think that the single biggest issue that we're seeing these days is that, I should say, filmmakers aren't convinced that festivals are even watching their movies all the way through, if they're watching them at all. That's the next article. I'm talking to filmmakers and they're saying they've got their Vimeo stats. It's saying that, you know, this region where I submitted my movie hasn't even been opened or viewed. And then there's others that are telling me, well, they open and watch my movie, but they only watched the first 6 minutes. That's horrible, right? These filmmakers are spending money with an obligation from these festivals to at least watch it and hopefully watch it all the way through to give it a chance. And when I was doing AFI Fest years ago, I remember we always made sure that at least two, usually three people were watching every film and they're filling out a review sheet. And it was pretty comprehensive. And yes, we did have some film buffs and some film students supporting that effort, but there was always a check and balance going on with the senior programmers, making sure that everything was getting seen. But what I'm getting at is I think that it's really important because these festivals have so many films now that they have to get through, is to reach out to those festivals and get on their radar. And I found that it's made a huge difference in the last year or two. I've been doing this course, as you know, the Film Festival Mastery course. And one of the key modules in this course is how to get on the festival's radar. Sometimes it's as simple as, you know, I shot the film in the same state or in the same region. Sometimes it's I'm from your area. Other times it's I've been going to your festival every year and I'm finally ready to come with my movie. But even if one of those angles doesn't apply, usually you have something you can send. Maybe it's a trailer, maybe it's a press kit, or maybe you know somebody that either knows somebody at the festival or a filmmaker that had a film in that festival. Whatever the angle might be, reaching out 4 to 6, 7 weeks from the notification date and just saying whatever that angle is, love to make sure you see my movie. I think it tends to bubble it up to the top and make sure that it doesn't get lost.
So I know that one thing that, or maybe I'm remembering wrong, but one thing that I feel like you teach is you shouldn't wait until you have a film and you're doing just a cover letter, that you should be reaching out to programmers and meeting them long before you're ready to submit your film. Is that correct-ish?
Well, I don't think it's a bad thing to reach out and let them know. I mean, I think one of the, I won't name names, but one of the Sundance programmers a year or two ago literally came out and said there wasn't one film that played in their festival in the feature side that they didn't know about. So they're always tracking what's going on. And of course, with the bigger festivals, you've got producers reps and publicists and agents that are in some cases studios, right? Fox Searchlight, A24. Sometimes these festivals are playing movies that already have distribution. So yes, reaching out in advance and just kind of giving them a heads up, it can't be a bad thing. I don't know that that's as valuable as getting on the radar once they've submit. But another thing that some people do that I think is a little misguided is they just assume that they can do a form letter and that they should just send that form letter to the festival right after they submit. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about in our webinars is the idea of saving money because people spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on submission fees. If you submit on the early deadlines, more often than not, you're going to save several $1,000s in your festival run. Right. But if you submit to an early deadline, you don't want to follow up with a form letter like a week or so after that, because frankly, they're not even really watching movies yet. You're much better off waiting till, you know, again, 6, 7, 8 weeks out from the notification date while people are actually starting to talk about it in those programming circles.
I would say in my experience, especially if you're trying to get to bigger festivals that you're not going to get by just submitting, guys, stop wasting your money submitting to Sundance. It drives me nuts when filmmakers are like, that's my plan. My business plan is to submit to Sundance.
Exactly.
You're stupid.
Less than 1%.
Yeah.
Get in.
And it's usually not from straight submissions, as you said, especially with features. One thing I would recommend, though, that I've seen work is volunteering at these festivals, but with the programming level, not just like as somebody who hands out flyers. Being a known name and a known face that they like is going to help you. I know that helps with Black Miser Collective Film Festival because we're like, oh, make sure we give a second watch. Like if the first screener says no to somebody that I know personally, I'm like, let me see it because then I want to make sure because I have a known name. I still might say no, but it does help. If I like you and, you know, then I'm sure I'm not alone in that. So I do think that it's important to get to know programmers, but in a good way, not in an annoying way, in a desperate way, in a please help me way, in a genuine how can I help you way. How would you recommend filmmakers best use their time on the circuit? And I would say it's probably a little different for feature films versus short films, but how do they make the most of it if they are spending the money to go out to these things?
That's a fun one for us. I don't know if you caught this, but we did an acrostic in the last webinar where we break down participation, and every letter stands for something. But I think certainly preparing is critical. A lot of people, unfortunately, just kind of show up. And if they're lucky, they've got some postcards to distribute, but they don't really think about, where's my audience? Like, if it's a movie, I talk about this, you know, I did a yoga movie years ago, and it was pretty easy to reach out to yoga studios, right? And give them a pair of tickets and have them do outreach. So think about, don't show up at a festival and expect that it's going to be full. Certainly top tier festivals don't have that issue, but if it's not a top tier festival, chances are they can use help driving cheeks to seats, right? So think about how you can reach your audience. Think about what you want to say in your Q&A. Think about how you advance your career. That's one of the other big things that people forget about, is when you are at a festival and somebody says, I loved your movie, what's next for you? You better have an answer. Whether it's, I want to make this into a feature, if it was a short, or I have a script ready, or I have a pitch deck, or like, just be ready to talk, because it doesn't, for people like us that are trying to help filmmakers out, we can make introductions to agents, managers, and other producers and studios. The first question is always, okay, what's next? And so if you've got this momentum, you got to be able to capitalize on that. But another thing that I think is really important is getting out there. If you're going to spend the time and money to go to a festival, you should get out of your hotel room, right? And don't just show up to your screening. Go to the happy hours. Go to the mixers. I was on a panel once and I ended up getting an investor as I was walking out because he saw me on a panel. I just was trying to be active. So I think the more you're active, the more you can connect with other filmmakers and industry and maybe even investors. So I think just being active is the key.
Two things you're reminding me of. One is, y'all, don't just think like filmmakers. Think like entrepreneurs. If you can get yourself on a panel, you suddenly look like something a little bit more special to anybody else at the festival, even though it's like, whatever, it's still just you and you just asked to be on a panel, or you even made a panel. Do it. Two, I remember I met somebody at Dances with Films at a random party, and I don't do the film festival parties because I'm such an introvert, but I went to this one, talked to someone, talked about our films, we became Facebook friends, and like 7 years later, this person emailed me and said, hey, we have a music thing that I don't want to do. And it was with Aerosmith, so it was a big music thing. Would you want to bid to direct this? So like, you just don't know who you're meeting. So it's not just about meeting producers and investors and such. It's also about making connections with your filmmaking peers.
Just to add to that, think about the fact that a lot of alumni return to festivals. So really connect with the festival team, because the pass holders are always asking the festival team, you know, the local community members, you know, so what's good this year, Jim? You know, and so connecting with them helps. And once you're invited, find out if that festival has a publicity department and see if they can get you on radio or TV, or let them know you're available for panels or whatever else. The first filmmakers that do that are tend to be the ones that get called on. And then that's extra publicity for you and your film.
What are your thoughts on hiring a publicist, and does it your thoughts change on a short film versus a feature film?
If it's a short film, chances are, unless you're really gunning for an Oscar nomination, it's probably not worth spending $1,000-$3,000 a month on a publicist. If it's a feature, then it really depends on, well, first your goals, which we don't have enough time to really dig deep into, but it starts with the goals, but it also really leans into the tier of festival. For example, if you're playing Sundance, or Toronto, or South by Southwest, if you're playing one of these circus festivals, you really need a publicist to get any attention there. I mean, there are a few kind of gems that rise to the top, but typically they're going to have a publicist if that happens. If you're playing just a strong regional festival like Cleveland or Atlanta or one of these Mill Valley, you don't need to necessarily have a publicist. It can help, but it depends on what your goals are. You don't need a publicist to do a press release. You don't need a publicist to, you know, talk to the yoga studios. So it kind of depends on the festival and where it's happening and what your goals are.
Important things to be thinking about when you're hiring a publicist. One is, what are their connections? You're literally paying a publicist for their connections. That's what you're buying more than anything. Two, can you find out who else they've worked with? Who are they currently working with? And I will say, if you're like a feature film who has like really sort of name stars and that publicist is working with, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, you're not going to get their attention. They're going to take your money and give you a little bit. So you really have to dig deep into who the publicist is, what they're going to do for you. And like John said, your goals, make sure they know your goals and have them commit to getting, making those goals happen.
I think you could play at regional festival, for example, and I mean, publicists might tell you they know somebody in Cleveland, but you know, I don't know how they convince you of that. I just don't know how much more. If you're trying to generate awareness in the industry because you think you have a good shot at securing distribution and a publicist is well connected to the trades, then that could be helpful, right? If you're trying to leverage all these credible festivals to generate awareness in the industry to advance your career, that can be helpful.
And also just because they say they have connection to the trades, but great, show me all your previous articles you've gotten in Hollywood Reporter or wherever.
Or a reference. Yeah. Give me a reference.
I want to see them. Exactly. And Thea asks, did you say to touch base 6 weeks before notification?
Yeah, I usually say 4 to 6 weeks from the notification date. And, you know, obviously some festivals have a call for entries and then there's 6, 7, 8 months before the festival. So you don't want to follow up right away because they're not really paying a lot of attention yet. You want to wait till you're further into the program. That's the idea.
Especially if it's a big festival. Smaller festivals like Black Magic Collective, it doesn't hurt to do something in the beginning and say, you know, you're excited to submit and you love the festival or some nice things that gets us thinking about you, because we take submissions in January all through until we go in November. So I think, again, it's festival size and what you're trying to do. Jesse asks, can you talk more about the claim that festivals don't watch a film and how the view count works when festivals are watching films through Film Freeway Portal? Most Film Freeway films submitted to us are tied to Vimeo.
But I do believe there are different levels of Vimeo accounts. And I think if you have a pro account, it gives you stats. For example, you can find out if you submitted the film to, you know, a festival in St. Louis, you can find out if people in St. Louis actually watched your movie, and then you can look at the minutes that they watched. So that's how some of these filmmakers are tracking it. And it's only since the webinar we did in July, and I started doing these free consultations where people could literally go to causepictures.com or filmfestivalmastery.com and click a button to do set up a free 15-minute consultation. And I talk them through what I think they need to be, you know, thinking about as they plan their strategy. And it's crazy how many, again, more than I can count on two hands, how many filmmakers have told me they don't believe that certain festivals even watch their movie.
It's not only important to know who's not watching it, because there's not much you can do. You know, you could call out the festival, but really what you should be doing is informing every other filmmaker you know. Don't hide that information. Make it public.
Maybe you can help me. I want to do a survey and see just how many of these filmmakers are having this claim. And even if they don't go on the record with what festivals, if I could start a list of festivals that are being accused of this, I think that will go a long way.
Anybody is watching this and that wants to be, that has stories, you can even email us at info@blackmagiccollective.com and tell us, and then we'll see if we can get something going, because I think that's invaluable. I've actually put out APB before, for lack of a better term, saying, which festivals did you hate? It won't be publicly, but tell us why you did not like them, and found out a lot of dirt, a lot of festivals. But because we don't want to submit to people that like don't care about filmmakers.
I had a filmmaker last year that actually asked for their money back. They reached out to the festival and said, I see nobody watched my movie. You know, I'm going to make this really bad for you if you don't send me my money back.
I think if you have the proof and you can, like, here's the screenshot, you didn't watch it, why not? You're paying money to these people. What else can someone do to help make their film stand out besides being the best film they can be? And I'm going to just tell you, filmmakers, something. This includes me. We all love our movies, but not all of our movies are good. With Black Magic Collective, if we see 1,000 movies, we have a hard time picking high quality movies out of those. So I want to say, you need to let people who are not your friends, who will be brutally honest, give you feedback, and take the feedback and do what you can. And if it means you're not submitting to festivals with that film, but you learn something, you go out and make a better film, do that. It's more worth your money than submitting a bad film to festivals.
I'll just add to that idea, and I'm not totally sure if this answers your question, but one of the things that I think people take for granted is filmmakers get so close to the movie that it's hard for them to judge in some cases towards the end if they're nailing it. And so I've done a number of survey screenings for filmmakers where you can literally put a list of questions together, like, is this character working, or did this plot point make sense to you, or how was the resolution, whatever they might be.
Yeah, exactly. Does my sound suck? Or how beautiful your film is, or how well acted it is. If your sound is terrible, it's not making it in the festival. Those are important. I love that. I think I always do screens. And you can do Canon and Burbank. Sorry, Black Magic. Love you. Thank you for being our sponsor. Canon and Burbank has a free screening room for filmmakers. It has, I think it has Dolby as well. So it definitely has surround sound. You can go take there and take test audiences there for free. Or you go to somewhere like Rally Studios and, you know, get like a $50 hour or something to screen your short. You should do it for sure.
So here's two other little tips that tend to come up. One is if you're trying to make a deadline and you're thinking because it says it's okay in the rule and regulations of the festival that you can submit a work in progress, do your very best to make it look like it's finished. Because we've had a lot of horror stories over the years. One from me at Slam Dance where Doug Liman's swingers had to pull out after we already did the press release because they weren't done. We don't want to actually confirm a title if they can't finish the film. And we all know that independent filmmakers sometimes struggle to get to the finish line. So it hurts you to submit a rough cut that looks really rough. No titles, bad sound, no credits. So even if you know that you're going to insert another scene or do another polish or another mix or whatever, try and make it look like it's done. You know, you can just replace the file. And nobody will ever know. But if it's got it's got main titles, it's got the crawl at the end, and you know what I mean? So the rough cut thing is, I think, a problem, and I think it hurts filmmakers more than they think it does. And then the other thing is back to the radar question, which I do think is probably at the top of the list now to just make sure things get seen, is some of these movies are getting turned off before they kind of come into their own, as it were, right? Some are slow burn, some take longer to get going. So I always recommend, a little less so if it's a short, but even shorts can do it too, but have a good trailer and use that trailer as an opportunity to send to that festival and have on your Film Freeway page. And that sometimes is just enough to get that viewer to give it a legitimate shot.
Jen asks, will John's book also serve as a directory as well as walking people through the festival process?
The book that's about to come out, it's going to be in two parts. The first is the Film Festival Playbook, which is almost like a Cliff Notes version of Film Festival Mastery, because that course costs, I don't know what they're charging now, $497 or something. It's pretty expensive. But the book's going to be around $29 or something, and it's going to be like the 101 tips of, you know, here's how you play the circuit. And it breaks down the goals and the radar and the distribution. And so it kind of breaks down modules. It also has a number of resources where you can learn more about marketing. You can learn about distribution. You can learn what the player's guide is in there. I did a book called Filmmaking for Change. If you're interested in how to create impact campaigns and educational screenings with your films. So I do think that it's a pretty comprehensive resource. But what I think is even more cool is that there's going to be a companion piece called the Film Festival Workbook, which is going to have sample spreadsheets, sample EPKs, and it's going to have exercises around each of these categories for the, you know, the type A out there who really want to dig in and create the right spreadsheets and create the right EPKs and really just soup to nuts, take it on.
That's great. I love it. I think it's going to be such a great resource for filmmakers. If you're watching the replay and you have questions come up, throw them in the comment box and we'll still come back by and answer them. Everybody go check out Film Festival Mastery and also keep an eye out for John's book. And John, do you have any parting last thoughts that are like coming to you right now as we tell everybody goodbye?
I would just say that, you know, I'm a firm believer in the value of film festivals. I've seen firsthand that over the last few years, it's become increasingly challenging to get into the top tier festivals. So I think it's just really important for filmmakers to try and map out a strategy, send films in waves, see how it's doing. Maybe you have to pivot and go to the next tier, but you shouldn't spend $3,000 or $4,000 just sending it out there. You should really develop a strategy and hopefully it can help you. Because if you do it right, film festivals can really help advance your career.
I decided to take John's Film Festival Mastery course because the course itself is already great, but you offer things that are very invaluable to filmmakers. Do you want to take a second before we get off of here to talk about program?
What we did was Justin Giddings is a filmmaker who's played a number of film festivals, and he and I got together and he hosts and I kind of answer most of the questions, but he's played hundreds of festivals, so he knows the world pretty well in addition to me. But what we do is we break down in close to 5 hours of video modules the ins and outs from developing the right strategy to getting on the radar, how to budget, how to deal with your expenses, where you can actually generate revenues with screening fees and revenue sharing, how to deal with participation that you asked about earlier, how to really maximize that. We have literally videos and slide presentations for all of these categories. And then the last one is on distribution. So we help filmmakers think about the different levels of distribution, whether it's doing community screenings or educational screenings, to four-walling a theater, to attracting the streaming platforms, or doing aggregation. So it's definitely a very comprehensive course, but it also comes with sample EPKs and lists of deliverables. So things that especially new filmmakers wouldn't necessarily know how to create.
There's a special sort of like upgrade to that where you guys help make introductions to programmers. How does that work?
We developed this course initially just to, frankly, to provide something to a much bigger volume than I had time to talk to, right? So it was just easier to have a course. But what we learned after doing it for a year or so is that a lot of filmmakers wanted me to watch their film, create a custom spreadsheet with all the festivals that I recommend based on them sharing their goals with me and seeing the film. And then I also reach out to the festivals and just make sure that the film's on their radar, where I have relationships. So if I do a list of 20 to 30 festivals, I probably have relationships with, 10 to 15 of them. And then I reach out and, sometimes I get phone calls from, I've had a couple of filmmakers recently tell me that they just got into Dances with Films in New York or the Big Apple Film Festival. And I'm not saying I got them in because that's not my role, but I will say, I think that it sometimes helps to just make sure that film is on their radar and that it gets a fair look. That's the pro package, which is a little more expensive.
And worth it. I know that anytime we've submitted anything somewhat big, like a South by Southwest or something, we always try to get an alum that loves us to say, hey, look out for my friend's film. Because we're like, anything helps, trust me.
Thanks for listening to the Working Director Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review as it helps others find the show and helps us keep making great content for you. And if you want even more help with your directing career, check out theworkingdirector.pro, where you can apply to be part of the accelerator that hones in on where you currently are and helps you get to where you want to be. Whether it's this podcast, the accelerator, or our free Facebook community for directors,